Rappers. Right, 17 minutes past 10 is the time. Good morning, 90-333-105. Let me speak to Stephen Beacom. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. I've got to say, you see, whenever people soak you, whenever you're driving along, it is one of the most horrible things you can get, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, I detest it, and many's a time I'd be out just having a casual walk in the rain where I wouldn't care whether it was getting wet or not, just for a bit of exercise. But people will soak you. There are individuals who take pleasure at giving the spray up round the, you know, your side and your back and whatever. You almost think they're going to give a Dukes of Hazzard horn sound after they do it.
Oh, they do get a kick out of it. I'll tell you something else that annoys me on the roads, and I know it's not what I've been coming on to speak to you about, but it's whenever you let someone out at a junction and they refuse to acknowledge that you've let them out. But that's a whole different argument.
No, I'm with you on that. I like to get the lights flashed back or the hand to go up, or, you know, just some wee gesture, and then you cut people a bit of slack. Maybe they haven't got the ability to drive and to wave at the same time, and they don't want to put their fingers over towards the hazard lights because they are very delicate on the road. Maybe, just maybe, that is. But most people should be able to acknowledge being allowed out in the traffic, because it's a very courteous thing for a driver to do, to let you out.
Oh, without question. Okay, I'm going to be like you then. I'm going to try and cut people a bit of slack when they don't acknowledge a generous piece of driving. I'll do that, Frank, from here on in.
Sometimes you flash the lights, don't you? Like, as if to say, after they've pulled out and they're now driving in front of you and they haven't acknowledged you, you give them a wee flash of the lights just to remind them that they didn't acknowledge it. Do you do that?
No, I just think, I'm never going to do this again, and then the next day I will let someone act and it might happen again. Listen, there are some generous drivers out in the roads, and then there are some people who take the mick, like that person who splashed that young girl today, obviously.
I'm just thinking, you know, how do you treat the person who you've let out and they haven't acknowledged you? You don't flash the lights. Do you wait for them to glance in the rearview mirror and give them the fingers? Do you do that?
No, I would never do that. I just think to myself, listen, that person's got no class. Simple as that.
A bit like Liverpool.
Yeah, well, what an embarrassing situation, Frank, with Virgil van Dijk, the Southampton defender. It's incredible, really, how Liverpool have been caught with their trousers down here. It's an absolute shocker. Just to put it in context, on Monday, the newspapers were reporting that Virgil van Dijk had decided that he was going to leave Southampton and go to Liverpool in a £60 million move, which would have been a record for a defender. He indicated that he wanted to play and work with Jurgen Klopp. And Liverpool fans were absolutely in raptures at this, because Van Dijk, as you know, is considered one of the best defenders around. Manchester City and Chelsea and a whole host of other clubs were chasing him. But on Tuesday, Southampton, fuming by these reports in the newspapers, decided that because they hadn't received an official bid from Liverpool, that they would contact the Premier League to ask for an investigation about an alleged illegal approach. And then yesterday, what happens? Liverpool issue a statement, a grovelling apology, saying sorry for their conduct, and they've withdrew their interest in Van Dijk. And now the Premier League are no longer looking into this case. But all this does is it makes Liverpool fans angry, it makes Liverpool fans frustrated, and it does not look good on Liverpool Football Club. They have made a right mess of this situation, and a very, very important signing Van Dijk would have been, because Liverpool's defence has been leakier than a sieve over the past few years, and Van Dijk, I'm sure, would have been a real solid investment and a solid player for the football club. So Liverpool fans who'll be listening to this show, I'm sure they'll be angry, they'll be upset, and they'll be thinking, what on earth is going on at their football club?
Stephen, what Liverpool have done by apologising, by stepping away from any suggestion now that they want to buy the player, actually saying they're not going to pursue the player whatsoever, you get the feeling that Liverpool were really afraid of something serious, like a points deduction or whatever.
Well, they were scared of something coming out. There's no question about that. And it's been really interesting just to watch how this has developed on Merseyside over the past 24 hours. Jamie Carragher, who knows that club better than anyone, he has said that the only person who should be apologising is the person who fed the story to the press about Van Dijk wanting to join Liverpool in the first place. So clearly there's going to be an investigation done within Liverpool Football Club, and quite rightly so, because it's been an absolute embarrassment. And it would be interesting to see what would have come out, but the Premier League have said they're no longer looking into the case. But it's not the first time Liverpool have been involved in a situation like this, Frank. Back in April, I don't know if you remember, but they were fined $100,000 and banned from by the Premier League for signing academy players from other Premier League clubs. They broke the rules then. They effectively tapped up a 12-year-old. Yes, that's right, a 12-year-old from Stoke City's academy. Liverpool admitted that they broke the rules, and then they were handed this ban, and that was embarrassing for Liverpool. But this is in a completely different scale, and I do believe there was fear inside that football club as to what would come out if the Premier League continued to investigate the case.
What is the rule? But people who aren't fully across football will be wondering what we're talking about when we say the topping up. My understanding of it is, if a player has a contract with another club, you cannot, if you play for a different club or if you run a different club, go to that player and express directly an interest in him.
That's correct. Basically, what has to happen is the club has to speak to the chairman, the chief executive, the manager of that club, and not go directly to the player. But we all know in football that never happens, because there will be contact with the player in one form or another. One of the favourites for managers is to ask one of their players who's on international duty with the said player that is wanted to just question him and say, would you fancy a move to my club? And the next thing you know, he might say yes, and all of a sudden wheels are put in motion. So there is tapping up that goes on in football. It's been going on for years and years and years, and will continue to do so. But if you're found out and you don't follow the unofficial rules, as it were, in football, well then you can get a case taken against you, and that's what Southampton were going to do against Liverpool, and now Liverpool have backed away for fear of what was going to come out in the open.
This guy is the most wanted defender in the Premier League. Chances are, because money talks, it'll settle down. In a week's time, Liverpool will go to the chairman or the owner of Southampton and say, we would like to express an interest in one of your players, Virgil van Dijk. Would you like to sell him for £65 million to us? We'll pay him £200,000 a week and he'll still go to Liverpool.
There is that possibility, although Liverpool are now going to be... How many U-turns can Liverpool do on this? You know, because if they do that, then they'll be accused of making another U-turn. I think what this does is it gives Manchester City and Chelsea a lot of hope that they can sign Van Dijk. But Van Dijk, you're right, he's like the premier defender in the Premier League, and there's not too many great ones about, but Van Dijk for Southampton has shown what a good player he is. The thing is, though, Frank, he's got 5 years left on his contract. Because he signed a new contract about a year ago, and Southampton knew that he was going to be a wanted man, so they got him to sign that contract, which in turn would put his price up. He would go for £60 million as a defender, which is unheard of, really. Normally, whenever you're talking about those sort of figures, you're talking them for classy midfielders or strikers. So that's how rated this guy is.
With the exception, of course, of John Stones, who wasn't worth half of what they paid for him.
Stones, I think Manchester City were taken for a ride there. There's no question about that. If they got Van Dijk and they got Vincent Kompany fit, you'd really fancy them to win the league again next season. City, there's no question about that. But from Liverpool's perspective, it just really... There's egg on the faces of Liverpool people here today. There's no question about that. And they're going to have to work quick, because the fans will now demand quick signings to take the bad look of this. And Liverpool, it's a massive season for them, because they're back in the Champions League. They have to win the qualifier, of course, but they need trophies, Frank. They haven't won a trophy since Kenny Dalglish was in charge second time around, and they need to sort that out. There's no question about that.
Well, I hope at a personal level that Van Dijk goes to City. I think he'd be absolutely perfect for them. We'll just have to wait and see. What about the World Cup qualifiers? What do you reckon? Can Northern Ireland get anything out of Azerbaijan?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I was watching Northern Ireland against New Zealand on Friday night, and I remarked to a colleague that it's amazing now coming to watch Northern Ireland. You never think that Northern Ireland are actually going to lose a game. And that has been a long time coming, Frank, because I was one of the unfortunate souls who sat through 1,298 minutes, a European record, when Northern Ireland couldn't even score a goal. Now they seem unbeatable, and that's the way the players feel as well. They have got this self-belief. They've got this great confidence, and there's a composure about the team as well. I was speaking to Michael O'Neill yesterday, and he's feeling very, very positive about the match. Going to Azerbaijan is going to be difficult because of the conditions. It's going to be 31 degrees out there on Saturday. That's what the forecasters are saying. There's probably an Azerbaijan Frank Mitchell going on TV to tell us all about the weather as we speak. I think Northern Ireland can go there and win, and a win would put them in such a strong position to finish second in the group, and then you'd be looking at a playoff later down the line, and one of those playoff matches would be at Windsor, one of them would be away, and listen, Northern Ireland are in such a good place and a good frame of mind, they would fancy anyone in the playoff, but they have to take care of business in the group first. There's no reason in my mind that I can think of why Northern Ireland can't go to Azerbaijan and come back with the 3 points, and it would be fantastic, because then they would be sailing towards Russia. And what Michael O'Neill has done for the national team is just extraordinary, and the players deserve so much credit now as well. Stephen Davis, what a captain he is, what a player. To me, Frank, he's one of the best players to ever put on a Northern Ireland shirt.
There's no doubt about that. What about Martin O'Neill?
I can see Martin O'Neill winning the group. Northern Ireland are going to have to go through a playoff to get to the World Cup, but I think Martin O'Neill is now enjoying being manager of the Republic of Ireland far more than he ever has. Frank, when he first came in, there were a few doubts about what he could do at international level. I never had those doubts, I have to be honest. I've known and watched Martin O'Neill for a long time, and I've always thought he's one of the most shrewdest guys on the football planet, and he could manage anywhere and be a success, in my opinion. And just ask Celtic fans, just ask Aston Villa fans, Leicester City fans, where he worked wonders at all those clubs. And for the Republic, again, listen, he got the Republic to the Euros in a very, very tough group. He's now leading the group that he's in for the World Cup. They play Austria at the weekend. If they get a result there, and I believe they will, I think they'll finish first in that group and qualify automatically. And wouldn't it be fantastic if both Northern Ireland and the Republic were over in Russia in 2018? That would be something else.
And finally, we're all Scotsmen at the weekend.
Yeah, come on the jock. listen, I'm not the biggest fan of Gordon Strachan. I've had a few run-ins with Gordon over the years. But I genuinely hope that Scotland can do the business against England. It's always a fantastic fixture. I'll be watching Northern Ireland against Azerbaijan at the time, but I will keep an eye on England-Scotland. And Hampden will be packed to the rafters. The atmosphere will just be hiving. And if Scotland score first, Frank, they've got a chance. If England go ahead, I think they'll comfortably win it. So the first goal is vital in that. But listen, a victory for Northern Ireland, a victory for the Republic, and a victory for Scotland would be a pretty good weekend, wouldn't it?
We'll go for that. We'll go for that. Stephen, thank you very much indeed. A sports writer, sports broadcaster, Stephen Beacom. I think England will tank Scotland, but you love it, don't you, when England get their comeuppance. Right, good morning to you. 90-333-105-077-66-105-105. And, you know, we'll get the occasional call here from... the occasional call tends to come from women listening to the show. If you talk football, and I'm not for a moment suggesting that women don't adore football, and many women know more about football than I do. But Patrice and Joan have both been in touch with us. And there's something about football. It's like if I was listening to the radio and someone was talking about ballet, I would probably phone up as well and say, if you don't stop talking about ballet, I'm going to switch it off. So, Beatrice and Joan, stick with us, girl. This is multi-million pound football. This is Virgil van Dijk possibly going to Man City. Woman, can you not see the merit in the conversation? He's not going to Liverpool. Well, I hope he's not. He was about to go to Liverpool. Chances are he won't be going to Liverpool. He could be staying at Southampton. He might end up with Chelsea. But he could go to City. Can you not read between the lines, Beatrice and Joan? How important a conversation this is to me. It's not about you. It's about me.